How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. It is a huge day today. Arguably the second biggest show of the year for World Wrestling Entertainment, the Royal Rumble, takes place this afternoon. 30-man Battle Royal, over-the-top rules, men enter, well, conceivably every 2 minutes. That could change, as it does every year. Winner of the match, supposedly guaranteed a title shot at WrestleMania. You'll notice I've had a lot of supposedlies and presumably and all of that sort of thing. Well, that's because the Royal Rumble is unpredictable. And the idea back in the day that the winner immediately got his title shot and it was locked in stone, those days are gone. The winner of the Royal Rumble is no longer guaranteed anything. The title may be up for grabs at the Elimination Chamber. The title shot may be up for grabs at the Elimination Chamber. Someone else could end up going to WrestleMania, thus killing the stipulation of the Battle Royal. But we're going to talk about all different possibilities today on the show. We're going to run down the lineup top to bottom, talk about some of the entrants we know for the Royal Rumble thus far. It's kind of funny, back in the day, you'd know nearly all of the participants. Nowadays, they virtually announce nobody. So we're going to tell you who we know is in the Royal Rumble, who may be in the Royal Rumble, some possible swerves, and more. That's in the first hour of the program. Also, a lot of news to talk about today, including last night's UFC on Fox 2, a big show for the Ultimate Fighting Championships. It was the second show on Fox, was the first show a ratings aberration. Were they able to hold the momentum going into show 2? Did the rating die as a result of the horrible television opener, or were they able to grow throughout the evening? Was the show a success or a failure, both from a rating standpoint and from an in-ring standpoint? We're going to talk all about UFC on Fox, and we have some matches for UFC on Fox 3, which is coming up in May. So much stuff to talk about today. We're going to kick it off after the break. Royal Rumble talk here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next 2 hours. Pro Wrestling, Mixed Martial Arts, Sports Byline Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And we are here to talk about the second biggest show of the year for WWE, the Royal Rumble. The show where supposedly anybody can win. Anybody can win a title shot at WrestleMania. And realistically, I think we all know that that's not true. Santino, for example, is not going to win the Royal Rumble this year. He's just not, everybody. I know that that makes some people very upset, but that's a fact. Most likely, the winner of the Royal Rumble... Actually, I shouldn't say that. Most likely, the two people that are getting title shots at WrestleMania are Chris Jericho versus CM Punk, and Randy Orton against either Mark Henry or Daniel Bryan. So, in any other universe, the Royal Rumble would be won by Randy Orton in his hometown of St. Louis, I might add, or Chris Jericho. However, this is WWE. They sit there and they go, you know, everyone knows that Randy Orton or Chris Jericho is going to win. Therefore, what can we do to surprise people? And there have been a number of surprises that have been discussed over the last several days. And we'll see if they end up doing any of them or if they just do what makes the most sense. And Mike, without making necessarily a prediction at this point, do you think WWE is going to do what makes sense? Or do you think today at the show they are going to do something that would be considered a swerve?
I would hope they do something that makes sense. And I think they will actually do something that makes sense. I would figure that the it makes too much sense when it comes to Orton and when it comes to Jericho. Jericho, for the obvious reasons, he said he's going to change the world when he finally spoke, and they've been teasing this whole thing as it's been going along, and people have responded to him in a Pavlovian style, which is exactly what he wants them to do. So it would make great sense. On the flip side, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton. Randy Orton's in his hometown, the place that will they'll blow the roof off if there's ever a guy that, you know, they wouldn't take the shot at in their hometown. He would be a good one to say they would break the streak of embarrassing people with. And that match could use it if it's going to be Daniel Bryan holding onto the belt. A little bit more extra you can put onto that, the better. It's Punk and Jericho doesn't need it. Any of the other matches on the show wouldn't need it. So, you know, you could look at it that way as well. Any swerve that could happen? Yeah, I could see it. They like to change their mind constantly, but it just seems to be the two choices are too obvious. And as much as they've messed things up a lot of the time, I don't think that they'll do it tonight.
The Royal Rumble, I always felt that the man who wins the Rumble must get his shot at WrestleMania. I feel that it is one of those things in wrestling that to fans, it's still real. Fans don't really buy championships for the most part at this point. Guys win titles all the time. I can't even tell you how many times the WWE title changed hands since, like, last summer. But the reality is something that is still very real to the fans and to the wrestlers, mind you, is main eventing WrestleMania. And obviously this year, when we use the term main event, we're not talking the last match on the show because that's The Rock and John Cena. But to get a championship match, to be one of the top matches, one of the top draws at WrestleMania, that's a big deal for guys. It's a big deal for fans. So I've always felt that the Royal Rumble does well every year because that's the show where, when it's over, you know at least one of the biggest matches at this year's WrestleMania. And to me, if they start getting into the habit, and they've done this before, where let's say that Wade Barrett wins. I'm just throwing a name out there. Wade Barrett wins. And then at the Elimination Chamber, Randy Orton challenges Wade Barrett for the title shot, and he beats him. And now Randy Orton is going to WrestleMania, and Wade Barrett is in Money in the Bank. To me, all that does is tell people, okay, that money you spent on the Royal Rumble, well, you know, I hope you enjoyed the show, but it meant nothing. Because the guy who won the Royal Rumble didn't end up getting his title shot. And I don't think that's a good thing to condition the fans to, because then you start killing the lure of the Royal Rumble. Fans no longer think, okay, well, the winner is guaranteed a shot at WrestleMania. The fans think, well, a guy's going to win, and maybe he's guaranteed a shot, but maybe not. And when you start doing that, you get people going, well, maybe I'll just wait and buy Elimination Chamber instead, as opposed to doing what I do normally, which is buy all three shows in WrestleMania season. So I think the winner tonight should be Orton or Jericho. I don't really care either way, because both of them are scheduled for title shots. It doesn't really matter. I could see them doing a swerve just to surprise people, but I just don't like the idea. I think there are enough swerves in your normal Royal Rumble when it comes to surprise entrance and maybe surprise eliminations. You can have plenty of surprises in a Royal Rumble prior to a guy you know is going to win winning. And I don't think that makes people upset, because some of the best WrestleMania builds that we have ever seen in recent years have been as a result of a guy winning in a predictable manner. Everybody figured such and such would win. He goes on and he gets his shot at WrestleMania, and everything builds in a logical manner. So I hope that's what they do, but you never know.
Well, and that's the elephant in the room we talked about last week a little bit too, because I can actually see them doing that, especially if it's Orton that wins it tonight, and that's, you know, having some sort of messy scenario take place at the Elimination Chamber. I mean, the fact that they've done that before, I mean, it's painful. They don't build up any faith that way, because Royal Rumble is one of it's the last remaining thing besides WrestleMania that people usually go all in for. If you're going to, you know, mindlessly buy one, it's going to be WrestleMania. If you're going to be, you know, mindlessly buy two, of course it's the Royal Rumble. And the more that they continue to bastardize that, it's like the Survivor Series. You know, you could always have, you know, you could have kept the Survivor Series the way that it was, and no one would have ever cared. The minute you start really messing with things like the Royal Rumble, and again, you know, they've done a lot of TNA-type things, having tag team partners out of nowhere who don't like each other team up, and themed pay-per-views and things like that, although I guess they've learned their lesson with Money in the Bank. Because of things like that, I mean, you can't have the faith, you know, all out that they won't do it, and that's really too bad, because there are things that just, they don't need to be done. They are the things that classically work. Why continue to mess those things up?
It's very easy, Bill. Is you have a guy win the Royal Rumble, and he chooses who he's going to face at WrestleMania, and then that leaves another title shot that is up for grabs at the Elimination Chamber. You only need one chamber match, which actually I think is what they're doing this year. That also is subject to change. But I think that's the easiest way to go, because then people know, okay, I buy the Rumble. I know one match for WrestleMania. And then I buy the Elimination Chamber, and I find out the other match, and then I buy WrestleMania, and I get to see them.
Or heaven forbid, they don't actually touch each other until, you know, WrestleMania. And you actually build up a story that, you know, makes sense because you have people invested on leading into WrestleMania anyway. So, heaven forbid you do something like that.
Let's talk about the card for the Royal Rumble. We have been discussing the Rumble match, but let's get your two predictions, Mike. Who you think is going to win, and if you had to take a choice for second place, who that person would be?
I still would do Randy Orton. If it was up to me, I'd do Randy Orton for the reasons I had mentioned earlier on. But if it's not going to be Randy Orton, it definitely, to me, would be Chris Jericho in some sort of way where Chris Jericho finally, everyone realizes that he finally turns the people against him, then he explains himself on Raw.
I would choose Jericho or Orton. It is important to note, when we're talking about swerves, though, that the gimmick this year is that any WWE superstar is eligible to enter.
Howard Finkel.
Could be Howard Finkel. What that actually means is that, let's say that you're Dolph Ziggler, and you challenge for CM Punk's title, and you lose, you could enter the Royal Rumble afterwards and try to win another shot at WrestleMania. Same if CM Punk happens to lose to Dolph Ziggler, as a result of outside interference or whatever. If Punk loses the title, he could enter the Rumble and then win it. So that is a possibility as well. So that is something to consider when looking at all the swerves here. But if I had to make a choice, I would either have Randy Orton win in his hometown, or I would have Chris Jericho eliminate Randy Orton to turn heel in Randy Orton's hometown, and then you build from there. So that would be my booking scheme. But we'll talk more about that in a moment. When we come back, the rest of the card, Wrestling Observer Live, here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 2 hours, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We are talking the Royal Rumble, 2012 version of the Royal Rumble. It is coming up this afternoon, live on pay-per-view, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific. I guess it'd be 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, immediately after the show goes off the air. And we'll be doing live running play-by-play of the show up at WrestlingObserver.com with Dave Meltzer. And later on this evening, Dave Meltzer and I, a special edition of Wrestling Observer Radio, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. We're going to run down all of the matches in detail. We'll talk about the ramifications of the Royal Rumble, the matches known thus far for WrestleMania, and more. That's coming up later on tonight, only at WrestlingObserver.com. So if you love this show, check that out. But Mike, we have given our predictions for the big Royal Rumble match. Now it is time to examine the rest of the card. We do have a number of matches here on the show with much intrigue. Actually, before we do that, we should talk about some of the known entrants of the Royal Rumble this year. For example, the number one entrant is going to be The Miz. What are Todd's odds of Miz winning, Mike?
Those odds, I believe, are 1%.
1%.
Really that low. Yes, I don't see any pillar-to-post Ric Flair-esque Rey Mysterio-style run for The Miz in this whole thing.
No. We know that Wade Barrett is in the Rumble. We know that Sheamus is in the Rumble. They've talked about it. Hacksaw Jim Duggan is back for the Royal Rumble this year.
So Legends contracts are acceptable.
That's right. That's true. Everyone's eligible if they're under contract with the WWE. I have been told that Alberto Del Rio's ring announcer, Ricardo, is going to be in the Royal Rumble this year. What are the chances of that man winning?
I would say none, although the chances he's in Santino Morello's position at some point where the ring is cleared out and he happens to be alone, or he's being teased at the end in a comedy way, I think are probably 75%.
All right. Road Warrior Animal is not, in fact, going to be in the Royal Rumble this year. He was offered the spot, and he claimed that they could not come to terms.
Well,
I don't know if that means he...
As his brother, Johnny Ace, will explain to his son, James Laurinaitis, who I could see being at ringside playing for the St. Louis Rams, he will explain to him that he is a coward, and that's why that didn't take place.
Road Dogg is in the Royal Rumble this year.
See, now, unfortunately, well, not unfortunately for him, but they've already broken him out at one point. I'm hoping for, so it makes sense that he'll be there since, you know, we've seen him not long ago, but I'm wondering who the true surprise person will be, like when they bring out the honky-tonk man every once in a while. I mean, I wonder who the true mystery person would be.
Truth is in the Royal Rumble, although not number one, as he beat Miz on Monday, but he's in there somewhere, as is Mason Ryan, who is apparently going to get a new push starting today, although you know how those things go.
There's got to be guys like Mason Ryan in there.
I have heard rumors that Carlito may be returning to the Royal Rumble.
Can we handle that much Boricua action?
I'm not sure. I am not
sure.
That
would actually make sense. You tie him in with his brothers, and who knows, maybe Hunico, just get everyone together then or something like that. But, Carlito coming back, I guess I'd be okay with that. I'm fine.
I have heard that Brodus Clay is not only going to be in the Royal Rumble, but he is going to get his entire entrance. And I know that as of a few weeks ago, the idea was that he was also going to go on a rampage in the Royal Rumble.
Very easy to do both. He goes out there. He lays waste to everybody. He clears out the ring. The girls get in the ring. They do the whole entrance. Somebody call his mama. The girls dance, and I'm completely fine with that. The pyro shoots out. By that time, it's time for the next entrant to come into the ring. And it's either going to be a small comedy guy for him to bounce around with, or it's going to be somebody huge, and we actually get to see him face off against somebody.
This would never work, because I've seen Candace wrestle, but I would like to see them dance down to the ring, get in the ring, do their dance while everybody in the Rumble just goes to corners to watch, and then suddenly the girls start throwing people out.
You know what?
Because anybody's eligible.
Like high kick somebody out or something like that. I could see that, yes. Cameron, maybe not so much.
Anybody is eligible. She could do the deal where she whacks her butt on some guy and Santino flies over the top rope.
And it would be the perfect person to do it with. So, yeah, that would be okay.
I like to think I'd be the best and the worst booker of all time if I really put my mind to it. That's the names we have thus far, everybody. I remember back in the day when I was a kid, you knew like almost all 30 names. Now it's like the names that we do know are a mystery, with the exception of like five names. So anyway, that is the Royal Rumble match. We've also got some other bouts here on the show. For example, CM Punk will face Dolph Ziggler with John Laurinaitis as the special referee. And Mike, when you were watching Raw on Monday night, could you believe your own eyes when 5, 6, 7 days, whatever, before the Royal Rumble, CM Punk just lifted up and gave John Laurinaitis the GTS? Because I was baffled.
That's, you know, that would be something that either you do at WrestleMania or you do it the week before WrestleMania. If things were, like, red, incredibly hot, that you would do something like that. You know, if Laurinaitis had, like, if he was, like, if Dolph was officially his charge, and, you know, finally he lays him out, and now it's time to get my hands on Dolph Ziggler at WrestleMania. Yeah, that's when you do that. To do it in the way, I mean, Dolph coming out at the end and laying Punk out was great. You know, he should have done that when Punk was just about to get his hands on Laurinaitis. So I don't know why they decided to do that. Although, as funny as the Cena face was, I don't know if my favorite face of the night was Apathy Face by Johnny Laurinaitis when he was going up for the GTS.
You know, about I think about 3 weeks ago. About 3 weeks ago, the idea was that John Laurinaitis was going to take the GTS. I think it was the show after Royal Rumble. Might have been 2 weeks after. I can't remember. But the idea was they were hoping that it's going to be just like when Steve Austin gave Vince McMahon that first stunner. And at the time, I was like, I wouldn't hold my breath waiting for that one. But when they actually did it, and it really was pretty much out of nowhere on Raw, because when they announced that CM Punk was going to be facing John Laurinaitis, my first thought was, well, this match isn't going to happen. They're not going to do this match for free on television with literally, like, I can't say no build because we got a two-hour warning, but it wasn't like it was billed on TV the week before to pop a rating or anything like that. So I was like, there's no way they're going to do the match. And to me, it was like, well, there's no way they're going to do the GTS. You know, as soon as Punk hoisted him up, I was like looking around, waiting to see the guy run in to save John Laurinaitis. Because, you know, you tease it and you tease it and you tease it and then you deliver. Nope. Lifted him up, gave him the move. Everybody cheered, but they only got to cheer for like 1 second because then Dolph Ziggler flew in and laid out Punk and they played Dolph's music. And I thought, you messed like every single possible thing up about that right there. Like, there was nothing about that that you didn't mess up. You gave it away for free. You gave it away for free at a time when people weren't ready for it. And when the people did pop, you immediately had someone else attack Punk, and they played someone else's music, so there was no time for you to actually celebrate what had just happened. It was rendered, there was no point to it. It was rendered irrelevant immediately. And I couldn't believe it. So something must have changed, I presume, regarding a finish at the Royal Rumble for them to have given this away before the Royal Rumble. I don't know what that is. Maybe they thought it would be better the next week to do the deal where Hunter is giving John Laurinaitis his job evaluation. I don't know, which sounds, it might be all right because Hunter is can be funny and John Laurinaitis is unintentionally funny half the time. But I just thought it was a complete waste of time.
Yeah, it just shows you that, you know, the lack of, I mean, what, why? Why did you have to do it there? And again, unless they have something, you know, epic plan for tonight leading into Monday night, it just, yeah, it doesn't really make any sense for them to do that, but I don't know.
Plus, the other thing is, like, before last week's show, you had some intrigue in this match. Is John Laurinaitis going to successfully screw CM Punk? He's threatened to, but is he actually going to do it? Will something go wrong? Is he going to try? What is going to happen in this match? I hate the heel ref gimmick, but at least they had a story that they were telling. But as soon as they did last week's show, where John Laurinaitis reveals, okay, I'm under review, I've got to be good, you know, it's like, okay, well, you just, you took all the intrigue out of the match. Because now the presumption is that you can't do anything or you'll be fired next week. And then CM Punk lays him out, and then it's even more goofy. I don't get it. Maybe I'll get it when the night's over, but right now I don't get it. And my I'm excited for this match in the sense that I think that Dolph Ziggler and CM Punk can have a very good match together. But now, I don't know. I don't care much for it other than that.
Well, and the other lack of foresight too. You know, a guy like Jack Swagger proved that he wins the U.S. title over a broken down Zack Ryder. Fine. He dominates him. That's what he's supposed to do, takes the title. Then he gets obliterated by, you know, John Cena. Why? Alex Riley and Brodus Clay on Friday night. Anyone else could have done that. Why? Because they're not really thinking past the ends of their nose, or they changed something last minute. Or, I mean, that's got to be at least, that has to be a reason why, because nothing else really makes sense other than just not caring or just really not paying attention. They gave something away. Why did they do it? I guess we'll find out. But again, it didn't make any sense when you could have gotten some money or some pop or some rating later out of it.
When we come back, we're going to talk about John Cena versus Kane. Early contender for the worst feud of 2012, as well as three-way for the World Heavyweight Championship, Daniel Bryan, Mark Henry, and Big Show. Coming up after the break, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Bryan Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94. Streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. I am not going to sit here and waste your time with a long plug for WrestlingObserver.com. All I'm going to say is that if you only listen to this show once per week, it sucks to be you. Every single day we do shows at WrestlingObserver.com. It's only $10.99 a month. There are no extra fees. And for that cost, you not only get every brand new radio show we do, and keep in mind, if you love this show, I did 4 radio shows on Thursday alone that you missed out on. We do shows every single day, and we've got another one coming up tonight covering the Royal Rumble. We're going to talk about all of the matches. We're going to talk about all of the intrigue and the swerves that happened tonight at the Royal Rumble. We're going to talk about WrestleMania. You can only hear it if you subscribe. And again, it's only $10.99 a month. And if it's not enough that you get all of these brand new radio shows for that low, low price, but every show that we have ever done is archived right now. So, again, no extra fees. If you sign up for $10.99 a month, literally over 5,000 radio shows at your disposal. You just sign up. And you go to the archives and you get downloading. In fact, it's not fair, really, because for $10.99 a month, if you sign up today, you get everything that people have been paying for since 2005. Think about that. So don't waste any time. When this show is over, sign up and be ready. Later on tonight, Dave and I covering the Royal Rumble. Now, Mike, we've been talking about this show, this Royal Rumble, and my question for you, has there ever been a feud, at least in the last year or so, as bad as John Cena versus Kane?
Absolutely not. And the deal with that was sealed on Monday night. As soon as Cena made Cena face and the crowd laughed and the over-the-top stunt was played out for an extended period of time, yep, just to make sure everyone knew, it's over. At least when it came to the Kane and Edge feud that had Paul Bearer being put in such bizarre situations by the babyface good guy Edge. At least that was becoming so hokey and over the top with, like, Paul Bearer on a seesaw on top of a ladder on top of a car in the back room or something like that, where it was just so incredibly over the top and goofy and hokey and ridiculous. There's really nothing that's come from this outside of, well, Cena's face.
Someone asked me, they said, why is it always Kane involved in these god-awful storylines? And I actually have a theory. The theory is that I don't even think this is an arguable statement. I think that everybody would agree. The most successful gimmick character in the history of pro wrestling is The Undertaker. Would you argue that, Mike?
No, it's actually impossible to argue.
The Undertaker is the most successful gimmick character in the history of wrestling. When they first debuted The Undertaker in the late 80s or early 1990, whenever it was. I think it was the 1990 Survivor Series. Is that right, Mike? I think it was. Anyway.
1991, yeah. I mean, he was a Great American Bash against Luger, and then by that fall, he was Kane the Undertaker.
Pretty sure it was the 1990 Survivor Series. Regardless, here was a guy who had the gimmick of being an Undertaker. He did whatever Undertakers do. He dealt with the dead. He dressed in a scary manner. He looked terrifying. And ultimately, he displayed some magic powers. Now, think about that. This was his gimmick. He was an Undertaker that performed magical acts. This character should have been dead within 2 years, at most. Think about all of the hog farmers and the plumbers, and all of the goofy gimmicks we got in the early 90s from WWE. But this one, not only did it survive, it thrived for over 2 decades. So, to me, The Undertaker is a character where if your fans will accept that your character is an Undertaker with magical powers who can rise to heaven after he's been locked in a casket, who can cause lightning bolts to shoot out of the ceiling of an indoor arena. If you accept this as a wrestling fan, and wrestling fans have for two decades, well, there's a lot of different storylines you can do with a fellow like this. There's a lot of different things that you can do. And my theory is that somebody on creative, or Vince McMahon himself, regularly comes up with crazy ideas involving this magic man. And for most of them, Undertaker either says, I ain't doing that, or he's not around. And so they go, well, let's have Kane do it. And Kane's obviously down for anything, as you can see. So I think that that's why these horrible storylines always involve Kane. You know, somebody comes up with a crazy idea involving a supernatural persona, and Undertaker's either out with an injury, out resting, or he just says, hell no, I'm not doing that. And so they say, okay, well, let's have Kane do it. And so that's what we've got here. We've got the monster Kane, this crazy evil man whose sole desire in life is to get John Cena to yell at the fans who tell him that he sucks. That's this whole storyline. And somehow Zack Ryder is involved, and John Cena is a real big fan of Zack Ryder because I guess John Cena is on the internet all the time watching his videos. I don't even know what's going on, but the storyline is just god-awful, and I'm presuming that tonight at the Rumble it ends. I could be wrong, but presumably it ends, and then we can move on to John Cena versus The Rock, which is going to be a whole different can of worms. Your thoughts?
I'm hoping they have enough mercy on this thing to kill it dead now. Just, you know, have Cena beat him and get it over with. Please, 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 please. This is like a bad after-school special, WWE-style gone awry. You know, nerdy boy can't change tire trying to take out girl even though he was a champion, but he's complaining to his dad that Kane might beat him up. Then he can't change a tire, gets beat up and gets crippled, and then Cena gets him into another match, and nobody realizes that Johnny Ace should have never put him in that match anyway, and still somehow this is all John Cena's fault, and he makes a face, and yeah, hopefully they end this thing sooner rather than later, because why go on with this thing anymore? Do you have to go into the Elimination Chamber with this? You know, and there's something with Kane. There's, I think on the application that there's like an essay question, and it's, you know, what kind of creative writing have you done in your life? We have this character, Kane, go. And they come up with this stuff. I mean, I'll say this, though, too. Mark Henry, Undertaker, Kane, you know, guys who can be Lazarus-type characters, they have one thing in common. They're all big, and, you know, people at least can chuck their brain away and go, at least that big guy can probably kick some ass. And that always seems to be a repetitive thing. I mean, Jericho's somewhat different, but the guys people have the ability to go back to, no matter how badly they get beat up, they usually have size in common.
My prediction tonight, believe it or not, is that either Kane wins somehow, or we have a screw job finish and no winner. Because Rock is not going to be back until the end of February. And the whole reason we've got this goofy Kane feud is to give John Cena something to do until The Rock returns and you do your build towards WrestleMania. So, this feud has to continue, which means to me either Kane wins or you have a screwy finish. Now, a lot of people have been saying, boy, it sucks to be Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder was injured, supposedly. First, they claimed a broken back. Now they're claiming a herniated disc. But regardless, he's not going to be a participant in the Royal Rumble tonight. Unless they've completely lost their minds, which is possible. So people are going, man, poor Zack. You know, he's out a Royal Rumble payoff. That's terrible. And it's true, he is out a Royal Rumble payoff. But my theory is that Zack Ryder is injured. And John Cena and Kane have a match tonight. And perhaps Kane wins, and the feud must continue. Or maybe they do some sort of John Cena roll-up win, and then Kane destroys him afterwards. But the feud continues one way or the other. So then you've got the feud continuing on Raw, God forbid. And it leads to a big match, perhaps even at the Elimination Chamber. Either at Elimination Chamber or maybe on a Raw 3-4 weeks down the road. Maybe the Raw before Elimination Chamber, I don't know. But I'd guess that you have Cena and Kane again at the Chamber. and Zack Ryder makes his triumphant return, and he costs Kane the match. He helps John Cena win. The John Cena-Kane feud is over. John Cena moves on to The Rock, and you now have Kane versus Zack Ryder for WrestleMania. So any money that Zack Ryder missed out on by not being on the Royal Rumble card, he's going to make all of that and more by being in a singles match on WWE's biggest show of the year, where my guess would be he actually gets a win over Kane. That's my booking theory. May not end up like that, but that's what seems to make sense to me to make all parties involved happy.
Yeah, and it would make it's good because in the time that you have leading into WrestleMania, you have Ryder in a position where he should be, which is guy fighting from underneath, guy getting beat up on. I mean, him as a nerd, him as a geek, sucks. Him as a tough guy who can hang in, you know, with other guys, I think that idea sucks. Him as the guy that's, you know, constantly going after it and grinding away and gets people behind him and is, you know, Joe Internet and plays to that, that actually makes a lot of sense. So that would actually be a good thing to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to be a babyface. You don't have to be, like you said, the tough guy that everybody thinks is going to beat everybody up, because that ain't
like
Zack Ryder. You can't do that with Zack Ryder because of the way that you've booked him for so long. But he can be the guy that he keeps taking a beating, but he never gives up. He just keeps getting back up, and he just keeps coming, and that's how you get the guy over. And I think that's a great role for Zack Ryder. The fans obviously like him. You know, WWE obviously doesn't like him enough to push him as a real, legit top guy. But he could be the guy that he gets beat up all the time. Sometimes he gets injured, supposedly, for a while, but he just keeps coming. He just never gives up. That's what a babyface is, and that's a great role for Zack Ryder.
Yeah, I mean, there needed to be DiNucci's and Zabiscos and Maivias and guys that were underneath to get to your Brunos. And there's always a guy like that to get to the guy. And it always works. It always makes sense. And he's a good example of that. People don't want to see him ripped to shreds by Kane, but people also don't want to see him, you know, getting wins over Randy Orton or anything like that either because of, again, how he's been booked in the logic gap and his presentation looks-wise in the whole nine yards, but, you know, there can be a role for everyone as long as it's, you know, correctly thought out.
Only have a minute left, but quickly, some thoughts on Daniel Bryan, Mark Henry, and the Big Show. It is a three-way for the World Heavyweight title. Mark Henry blew out his knee on SmackDown, but as far as I know, he's going to tape it up and still work this match. And he has been just plagued with injuries. He had a groin injury, now he's got a knee injury. Daniel Bryan is the champion. They actually set this up in such a way, with Daniel Bryan escaping by the skin of his teeth so many times, they've built this up in an intelligent manner to set up a cage match. Now, no one can get in, and no one can get out! Only thing I will say about this is that, although it is a cage match, and conceivably no one can get in, and no one can get out, there are some giant men involved, and the question will be, can the cage withstand all of this weight? Who do you think's walking out with the title, Mike? 10 seconds.
Well, we can get to it more afterwards, but Daniel Bryan.
All right, we'll talk about this after the break. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. We were discussing the Royal Rumble, and I had the idea of Daniel Bryan somehow squeezing his way through the chain link in that fence and getting out, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think they'll do that one either. I think it's more likely they pick him up for a double choke slam, they slam him through the mat, and he hits the floor first.
That's not a bad idea.
You know, I don't know how they're going to do it. I was actually thinking they'd both slam him up against the cage and he'd hit the ground that way. Henry, I want to see get some more sympathy out of this thing. Obviously, his knee's banged up, and he won't be in the mix for a while, or at least it's possible that he won't be. So I want to see Kim come out of this with a little more, because I think he's someone people want to get behind. Big Show, you got to figure, is leading up to Shaq anyway. You don't want him to be, you know, anything other than what he is. Yeah, he ran into AJ, but, you know, he's going to be somewhere else. So how they'll slam into each other and Daniel Bryan comes out of this thing, I can't really see it any other way, because, again, Orton's probably going to get the shot, or at least the belt's going to be up at play, and it won't have these three guys into the mix, so you only need one with the belt, so it's time to move on.
I got an idea. You're doing the cage match, and everybody is having their battle, and Mark Henry is limited, but he does his best, and Big Show's motivated because he's in a title match at the Royal Rumble, and Daniel Bryan is always awesome. And they're doing all these spots, and Daniel Bryan climbs up to the top, and he's almost out, but they pull him back down, and he falls inside, and they tease going out the door, but they're unable to do so, and it's just a big battle of attrition, and all of these men are just, they're beaten down, and they're bloody. And then finally, at the end, Daniel Bryan gets thrown, and he hits the side of the cage. And then Big Show builds up a head of steam, and he runs, and he avalanches Daniel Bryan into the side of the cage. And then, as they're both there, Mark Henry runs, and he avalanches both of them. And as a result of all of this weight, Daniel Bryan's body goes through the chain link like cheese through a cheese grater, and all those pieces hit the ground, and he wins. That's my prediction. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, joined as we are every Sunday by Mike Sempervivi, the illustrious Mike Sempervivi of the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare at WrestlingObserver.com. 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We spent the first hour talking the Royal Rumble. 2012 Royal Rumble, ran down predictions for all of the matches. Don't forget, moments after this show goes off the air, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, not only does the Royal Rumble go live on pay-per-view worldwide, but Dave Meltzer is going to be doing live running play-by-play up at WrestlingObserver.com. So if you're listening to this show and you may not get a chance to actually order the pay-per-view, you can still find out what's going on at WrestlingObserver.com. We'll give you the results of all of the matches. We'll talk about the Royal Rumble as well. And then, later on this evening, Dave and I are going to be doing a special radio show only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, talking the Royal Rumble in detail. All of the matches, the angles, WrestleMania, and more. Plus the latest news. We did a show last night following the UFC on Fox 2 show. We're going to be talking about here on this program in just a moment with Mike. But make sure you check that out, WrestlingObserver.com. Now, last night, UFC did run on Fox. It was the second show. We don't have all of the numbers yet, but the rating is looking promising. Looks like probably 5 million viewers watched the show on average. What that means in terms of peak ratings for the top matches, we probably won't know until tomorrow, maybe a couple of days later when we get those full breakdowns. But we do know that the rating grew throughout the show, which most expected to happen. That's what normally happens during sporting events of this nature. So for those of you that thought that the Damian Maia Chris Weidman match was so god-awful that people tuned out in droves, well, that did not happen. We're going to talk about that match here in just a moment, plus all of the other matches on the show. Coming up after the break, Wrestling Observer Live, here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We spent the first hour talking the Royal Rumble. This hour, UFC on Fox 2. Headline by Rashad Evans beating Phil Davis in a five-round battle. Mike, what were your thoughts on UFC on Fox 2 as a whole?
I, you know, it... it unfortunately, I don't think it was, even though I'm happy to hear about the number, and that was good that it did continue to grow and that there was interest in it. You know, matchmaking, we questioned the matchmaking going in. As far as the risk possibilities that you would get coming out of it, if quote unquote the wrong guy won, and it prevented you from having John Jones and Rashad Evans and Anderson Silva and Chael Sonnen, that didn't happen. But with that said, I don't know if anybody is, you know, the average fan that may have tuned in. I don't know if they're beating down the doors to see, you know, another matchup, you know, with the guy that they had seen on screen in any of the bouts. Especially when it came to the, you know, the Sonnen bout, for, you know, as great as the post-match promo was, harkening back to superstar Billy Graham standing there with Vince McMahon in 1975 or whenever it was, 76, whenever he had taken that promo from, I'm sure the person that heard it just went, you know, there's probably a good deal of people out there, and I'm not saying everyone, who said, you know, how pro wrestling was that? You know, and the guy wasn't even that good. And again, Bisping is a very good fighter. He's a, you know, got for a guy who is British, and, you know, the British have been ripped over their wrestling skills. You know, he's a guy that went all in on really getting behind, you know, the amateur wrestling. So obviously he's not Sonnen, but still he was able to prevent, you know, to prevent Sonnen from looking good. And even though thought Sonnen won the fight, there were people who thought Bisping did. So, you know, guys probably didn't come out of the thing with the shine that they wanted them to have. You know, with that said, when you look at some of the business points of view, when it comes to ratings, when it comes to simulcasting it on Fox Sports Radio, and then immediately afterwards having a post-fight wrap-up with quotes from the fighters and taking call-ins, I mean, you know, all that stuff was great. And the undercard was pretty good, too, but you know, they need to balance out these cards with lighter weight guys, you know, WEC style guys, have two guys who are, you know, who could possibly knock each other out and then have some other matchup. I think, you know, in hindsight, even though, you know, there were good names we thought leading into the thing, in hindsight being 2020, they need to really match up, you know, really trying to maximize, not necessarily names, but who's going to give you the most action, because again, if I didn't see the undercard, but if Johnson knocked out Beltran, there should have been a way to squeeze that on there too. So, you know, matchmaking, they probably need to do something where, again, I know their fights, anything could happen, but they need some contrast to really try to force some contrast on there. And also, you know, showing a clip, especially after the first fight being so bad with both guys getting winded, Maya looking terrible throughout the whole thing, that would have been a good time afterwards to say, okay, well, we hope this next bout isn't, you know, coming up isn't bad, but just in case, look at this quick knockout we had earlier on in the show.
The Damian Maya Chris Weidman fight. Oh my God,
what a terrible way to start! I mean, and I know there's going to be a lot of critics who say, "Oh, UFC is 0-for-2 right now on these Fox shows," which I don't necessarily agree with, but you know, somebody can make the case for it.
I watched that fight and I thought, man, what a horrible fight. You know, you had a world-class wrestler against a world-class jiu-jitsu champion. And they had a kickboxing match. And a bad one at that.
Hey, shame on Damian Maya. That was all Damian Maya. And he hasn't been the same since he was blasted out in 21 seconds by Marquardt. I mean, you know, he was on that submission roll. And since then, has not submitted anybody. He's got a left hand that he thinks is something. And he was really the cause of that. I mean, yeah, Weidman, you know, somebody could say, well, you're going 15 minutes. You better be ready to go 15 minutes. But, Jesus, at least he tried to force the action.
Yeah, what was funny about Weidman was about a week before the show, he was, I think it was 222 pounds, if I recall correctly, and had to cut down to 185. And it was funny because in the pre-fight interviews, he actually was saying, you know, I'm not surprised I'm here. I figured somebody was going to get hurt. And I thought, well, if you figured somebody was going to get hurt, why were you 222 pounds 7 days before the show? But anyway, he had to cut an extreme amount of weight. And then, of course, as always happens when people cut all this weight to supposedly get an advantage, he ended up getting tired. And it's one thing when you're taking a fight on 7, 8, 9, 10 days notice and you get tired. But when you've been, you know, alerted far in advance like Damian Maya that you're going to have a fight and then you're that blown up in the third round. That was embarrassing. And the original fight was Damian Maia and Michael Bisping. And after watching Michael Bisping's performance with Chael Sonnen on the show, Michael Bisping would have eaten Damian Maia alive. Because Damian Maia would have gone in there like Damian Maia does of late and decide, I am going to be a world-class jiu-jitsu champion who decides he's going to fight on his feet. I'm going to throw a bunch of punches. And he would have been killed by Chael Sonnen in that fight. But instead, he faced Chris Weidman, who doesn't have much of a stand-up game, and decided he was going to punch him a lot, and didn't really do all that great a job. And Weidman ended up winning a split decision, 29-28, 28-29, and 29-28. I had the fight. I think I gave actually all three rounds to Weidman. Just a terrible performance by Damian Maia, and it was infuriating to me because it was like, you guys are on Fox. You guys are on national television. And this is the fight that we get. In fact, you know, I realize they had a card in advance and everything like that, but once everything went down with Mark Munoz pulling out and Michael Bisping being moved into the spot with Chael Sonnen, when you know that a Chris Weidman has got to take a fight on like 7 days' notice, then I'm sorry, I know that you originally had a Damian Maia fight on the main card, but Damian Maia versus Chris Weidman, that goes down to the undercard. And yep. you take a fight with two guys that have been training and nothing's gone wrong with their fight, and you move them onto the main card.
Beltran Johnson.
Yeah, you can't put a fight like this with one guy who had 5-10 days notice. You can't take a guy like that and put him on Fox television. What do you think is going to happen? He's going to get tired.
And especially when you don't need it, when you had the possibility of those two other matches on there going to decisions and going the full time. Why not put Beltran and Johnson on there? Somebody was getting knocked out.
I just thought, you know, as a fight fan, as a guy that watches every single show, with the exception of whatever shows are on Fuel, because I still can't get Fuel at this moment, but as a guy who watches every single show, as a fight fan, that fight sucked. But even more importantly, my grandmother, for example, watched UFC on Fox 1. And there were a lot of people like her who had never watched MMA before that may have tuned into this show. And those non-fight fans, those first-time fans, they tuned into the show and this is what they saw. This was their introduction to UFC, this horrible fight. You know, you're a boxing fan, Mike, and the boxing fans that hate MMA, they always bring up the same kind of thing. You know, a great boxer would kill a great MMA fighter because these MMA fighters, they can't box. Their stand-up is horrible. And, you know, I always, you know, there are a lot of MMA fighters that have great stand-up. But this was, like, this was a box of ammunition. This was an ammunition store for all of these boxing fans that think that MMA fighters suck on their feet. Because these guys sucked on their feet last night, and they looked awful. Worse, by that third round, they barely even looked like pro athletes. They were so tired, and they were just dragging themselves. And again, Weidman had an excuse. Damian Maia didn't. But still, this was what you showed the average fan. This was what you presented to the average fan going, this is mixed martial arts in 2012. This fight was a legitimate, honest-to-God embarrassment. And luckily, as noted, people didn't tune out after this. The rating continued to grow, which was... Actually, I wasn't really surprised, but some people would find that astonishing. But still, this fight was just... This was the worst.
It's because a lot of people never even saw the first fight to begin with, and they come into it later on after their basketball game ends or something.
Great!
You know? So, you know, and again, yeah, it didn't kill anything, but Maia really just, yeah, not good.
All right, we're going to talk about the other matches after the break. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. UFC on Fox 2 here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next hour, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're here ranting! About the Damian Maia Chris Weidman fight last night on UFC on Fox 2. You know, a lot of people, Mike, said that show sucked. The whole show was awful. And yes, the opener was hideous. And the main event really wasn't all that exciting because Rashad Evans just outclassed Phil Davis for five rounds. But I thought that the Chael Sonnen-Michael Bisping fight was a good fight as a fight fan. And as a looking at it through the eyes of your casual viewer, I don't see how anybody could have called that a bad fight. You had two guys who had a battle. They had a back-and-forth battle. They had a super close fight. I actually had it scored for Michael Bisping, as did Dana White, in fact. But Chael Sonnen got the victory in a fight where the first round is as close as the first round was. In fact, rounds one and two were very close. The only decisive round was the third round for Chael Sonnen. In a fight like that, you can't really complain about who wins. And in fact, after the fight, Chael Sonnen, on the ground, as soon as the horn sounded, he asked the referee, "Did I win?" And the referee said, "Eh, it was really close." And then Chael Sonnen went over to Michael Bisping and he said, "What do you think?" And Bisping said, "Well, I think I won the first two and you won the third." And Chael said, "I think you're right." That's not how it turned out, but that was how close it was. I thought it was a good fight. I thought it was a good television fight. I thought it was exciting. Yes, for business, the right man won. And Chael Sonnen did, in fact, steal line by line a Superstar Billy Graham promo from 1975, the year I was born, before Chael Sonnen was even born. And overall, I thought this was a success. Although, one thing I will say before I let you talk, Mike, while it was a success from a business standpoint, setting up a big fight, Chael Sonnen versus Anderson Silva, as I noted, I thought Bisping won the fight. But regardless, whether he got the decision or not, the Chael Sonnen that faced Michael Bisping last night, I don't think that Chael Sonnen is beating a healthy Anderson Silva. Mike, your thoughts?
No, you're exactly right, and that was the whole thing. I mean, you know, we talked about the Maya Wyden fight, and it's by getting the fight that we thought, look, business-wise, going in to have Sonnen fight before Anderson Silva was risky enough. Having him go in there with Munoz made it a little bit more risky, and then, you know, he could be dangerous with his wrestling. So we get the injury, then we end up getting the fight that you go, okay, well, at least if Bisping wins, you know, you got his mouth and he's going to be a good replacement. It's not, you know, Sonnen Silva, but at least we got something. And what we end up getting is the right guy, in theory, wins, but Bisping, by losing, actually gives you, you know, to me, there's almost more interest in a way of seeing Anderson Silva and Bisping. Realistically, no, I want to see Sonnen, you know, face him. But the fact that he gave Sonnen so many problems and Sonnen gave Silva so many problems, it lets you know that Bisping seems to be right now the established three, no doubt, in that division. And it gives you a possibility after you get Anderson, Silva, and Sonnen, whoever wins that fight, now you have Bisping there again. So I don't know if the average fan at home isn't going to draw that line, and they may just wonder why is this guy who I thought Bisping won the fight, why is this other guy going to get his rematch? You know, he didn't really win. God, this is like boxing. You know, there's probably a segment out there that thought that. But at least from a business point of view, not only do you have the fight that you wanted to get, even though there's probably at least, at the very least, not as much interest or not any more interest in it than there already was, if there wasn't a little, now if it's not a little bit less. But at least you get a fight after that, too, with the winner of Sonnen and Silva with Bisping again.
I would suspect that they do Bisping Munoz, and they say the winner of that fight gets the winner of Anderson Silva versus Chael Sonnen. That'd be my guess.
Absolutely. Makes complete sense.
Now, the question I have is this fight, Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva 2, this fight takes place in Brazil, they say. And I don't know how they get Chael in and out of Brazil, to be honest with you. I don't know if they're going to have to dress him.
Heavily armed, that's how.
Dress him in drag? What's a good pro wrestling gimmick? They're going to have to put him in a box? How are they going to get him in and out without being...
Well, either that or he needs turncoat people that people love in Rio, that people love to surround him. Like Freddie Blassie going with Muhammad Ali over to Japan to face Inoki. They need some hype men around it, a bunch of people around him at all times. Maybe somebody turning on Brazil.
Yeah, no, because then that guy would be in danger of being stabbed as well. It's going to be
That's
an interesting
true.
Situation here, this Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva fight. And it's going to be interesting in a lot of different ways in terms of what's the story on both guys? In the sense that, how good was Michael Bisping last night? That's a very important question. Was it, what did Chael Sonnen not look dominant because Michael Bisping is just that damn good, which is possible, or has Chael slipped in the last couple of years? Question also with Anderson Silva. The man is approaching 38, maybe 38 now, but he's closer to 40 than he is 30, and he's a man who relies on speed, quickness, reflexes, and he's been injured. He's had shoulder injuries. He's had back injuries. You know, this is a man who, at some point, he's going to get beaten. Now, is he going to go into the ring at 100%? Is he going to go into the ring like the Anderson Silva of old? Or has he gotten old? That's a very important question. And if there are guys, Rashad Evans had a series of injuries. And granted, he's not anywhere near the age of Anderson Silva. But Rashad Evans had injuries, and he came back, and he looked awesome. And granted, he looked awesome against Tito Ortiz, and he didn't look quite so awesome against Phil Davis. But he still came back, and he looked great. Is it going to be the same thing with Anderson Silva after recovering from these injuries? You know, one thing that people seem to have forgotten is that in the first Chael Sonnen-Anderson Silva fight, where Chael Sonnen won 4.5 rounds before getting caught in a triangle, you know, people seem to forget that Anderson Silva had a rib injury during that fight. And if you remember, a couple of fights back, actually, we had the return of Jose Aldo, who had that fight with Mark Hominick and looked horrible. And he also was not at his peak. And he came back at his peak, and he looked fabulous in his next fight. So, you know, an Anderson Silva with an injured rib, yeah, he may lose 4.5 rounds to Chael Sonnen. But what about an Anderson Silva that actually is healthy? I mean, is it going to be the same fight? Is he going to be able to avoid every single takedown? Is he going to pick Chael Sonnen apart? It's a very intriguing fight, and I'm excited for it.
Well, and you know, this, I'm going to be, let me just throw out bearer of bad news, not bearer of bad news, but the real worst devil's advocate. Maybe Chael was just kind of a supernova too. Because if you think about it, remember he was going to be the breakouting when he came back to WDEC, and he loses to Filho. I mean, gets blown out by him, wins the rematch, but that's because Paulo was on some other planet during that fight. I mean, yeah, he beat Dan Miller. I mean, yeah, the Marquardt fight was really good. And the Silva, you know, winning 4.5 rounds, incredible. Then the mouth comes afterwards, and yes, he got Stan. But, you know, is it possible he could have already peaked out? I mean, is that, you know?
It's very possible.
And because the whole thing is, I mean, it's amazing how fast this ascension has been as far as people's love for Sonnen. But, and again, I'm not trying to demean him or anything like that, but it's not like he's got a history of, you know, coming up aces when he's been under pressure. The promos have been great. All that's been great. The Stan fight, he absolutely did. But it's not like he's, you know, and again, Marquardt, that was a great fight, but it's not like he has these epic fights or he's that dynamic a fighter or he's that scary a fighter for guys. I mean, it's, you know, yeah, he did finish Stan. You know, the reason that was such a shock was, when's the last time he did that? Had he ever done it? I mean, it had been a long, long time.
What are your thoughts on the main event of Rashad Evans and Mr. Wonderful, Phil Davis?
Yeah, I really like Phil Davis. And, you know, again, to the average person, he's not going to gain anything out of this because people just say, well, this, you know, because they don't, you know, follow up with him. You know, they don't really, they hear he was a great wrestler, but it doesn't really sink in. And they have no clue how little time that he spent. And yeah, I mean, it's not like he's a rookie or anything like that. He's improved exponentially as his fights have gone on and as the, you know, months and years have gone on. But with that said, it was still very early in the game to face a guy like Rashad Evans, and you know his wrestling was better than Rashad Evans. That's something Rashad usually has over a lot of guys, but you know it was a big question mark, and no fault of his. He was just completely outclassed, and you know you look at his body, you look at the potential, you look at the things he can do well. And when he is a little bit more confident in the big fight situation, and you look at him, at least you know he's got all the physical tools to continue on and get better. The average fan doesn't care about that, but at least we got that out of the deal. And, you know, I feel bad for Rashad Evans because here was a good time to, you know, if he could have gotten a knockout or he could have gotten a stoppage, it would have been awesome for him, you know, and calling out John Jones. And I think, you know what, I think if he had finished Phil Davis, he would have been calling out John Jones from the booth.
You know, in the pre-fight build-up to this, they got in a big argument over who was the better wrestler. And Rashad was telling him, I'd beat you right now. And Phil Davis actually said, this man must be drug tested. He must be on cocaine. That's what he said. And last night, I'm afraid that Rashad Evans out-wrestled Phil Davis.
Hey, more confident in mixed martial arts wrestling. I mean, he's confident in his wrestling anyway. And you know, again, that's why amateur wrestlers seem to do the best when it comes to the UFC, because of that grinding mentality. And, you know, again, Rashad Evans is really, really good. No matter how you cut it, Rashad Evans is really good.
All right, we are going to head to a break. When we come back, we'll talk some of the ramifications and fallout of UFC on Fox 2. We'll talk about a match for UFC on Fox 3 and a bunch of pro wrestling and MMA news tidbits coming up after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Michael P. Sempervivi, the illustrious Michael Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here for the next 20 minutes. Pro wrestling and mixed martial arts every Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, where you can go for sometimes 4 daily radio shows. I did 4 shows on Thursday, everybody. That was a long day. That was a long day. If you love this show, and you only get to hear it once per week, you are missing out. We do shows every single day at WrestlingObserver.com. You have to be a subscriber, I'm not going to lie, but it's only $10.99 per month. Sign up, and not only do you get all these new shows, you get every single show we've ever done. It's not fair, really. If you sign up today for $10.99, which is like 2 coffees at Starbucks, for $10.99, you can jump into the archives and immediately download every show we have done since 2005. So all those people that started paying in 2005 and have been paying consistently ever since, you, for $10, can jump up there and get every show they've already listened to. It's a steal. Said it a million times. I'll keep it quick. If you like this radio show and you only get to hear it once per week, then you are missing out. I guarantee you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. It's only $10.99, and you get every single show we've ever done and every new show we ever do. If you sign up right now, in the next 5 minutes, as Don West would say, tonight you'll get to listen to our newest show, myself and Dave Meltzer, spending an hour or so running down the Royal Rumble, talking about all the matches, how all of this leads into WrestleMania. We'll talk about the surprise entrance at the Rumble, of which there shall be several, and all of the news leading into WrestleMania, Raw tomorrow, and more. Only for subscribers tonight at WrestlingObserver.com. And for free, WrestlingObserver.com is doing live running play-by-play as soon as Royal Rumble goes on the air, which is, in fact, just moments after this show goes off the air. So some of you right now are very excited about the Royal Rumble. We talked about it in the first hour. It's going to be a show, so check it out on pay-per-view. Check it out on the front page. And tune in tonight at WrestlingObserver.com for a breakdown with myself and Dave Meltzer. Mike, before we move on to news bits, do you have any thoughts on the fallout of UFC on Fox 2?
Well, actually, before I do that, let me get my plug in, because not only will subscribers tonight get to hear the show that you and Dave do, wrapping up the UFC rating and Royal Rumble and all of that sort of stuff, but you can also listen to the very new Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare that was recorded today and will be up on the show at some point today, if not tonight. So if the Royal Rumble is boring you, you're on the Observer site keeping up with what's going on anyway, you might as well listen out to the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. Well worth the $10.99 alone a month that you would spend. But coming, you know, leading out of the Fox show, They announced it earlier in the day. They announced it to everyone last night as soon as Evans won. that he would be facing John Jones. We finally at least get that cinched up at UFC 145, April 21st at Phillips Arena. Again, yes, in hindsight, the show itself when it came to the matchups were not fantastic. The rating is very encouraging. Obviously, now the third, how you stack the third show, and I would use as much firepower and name power as you can to secure in this becoming a regular thing for people to watch, and I'd have to see the date. But if it is in the summertime, and it probably is, if they're doing this quarterly or in the spring when it's a little bit warm, you have to be very careful because people do things on Saturday nights. So I would say you have to be careful with it and continue, you know, and because of the way things were presented, you know, this past Saturday, I would be careful about the matchmaking. But everything else, again, a lot of the stuff that went with it was very good. I get two different Fox stations. I get a WTTG, which is one of their powerhouse stations based out of Washington, D.C., and then I get one out of Salisbury, Maryland. During Rashad Evans' post-match promo, the local, you know, the small affiliate actually had cut it out and went right to the news. It was about 10:15, 10:18. They just took the opportunity to go right to the news. Obviously, the powerhouse station out of D.C., which is one of Fox's main affiliates, they stayed with it throughout the entire thing, wrapping up to the end. So, it all depending, I'm going to be interested to see how, you know, a lot of TV stations, if that happened all over the place, will be interesting to see how they took it. And obviously, you know, the demos that come out will be interesting to see as well. So, again, it's too early to tell whether this was a bad deal or not. Again, were the fights not up to, you know, super par? They were not. But with that said, again, a lot of the other stuff, the radio stuff and everything else is good, with the exception, of course, of the undercard, because if you don't have fuel, it's completely invisible to you.
Who wins, Jones and Davis?
Jones. I'm sorry, not Jones. And, well, if it's Jones and Davis, it's Jones. But if it's Jones and Rashad Evans, I think it's Rashad Evans.
Rashad Evans.
As great of an athlete as John Jones is, as wicked as he is, it is hard with the seasoning, with the style, the way he gets into people's heads, with the as good as he is. I mean, yeah, he left himself wide open wanting to be Billy Badass and getting caught with a shot by Machida that put him in a bad way, and that's what got him in trouble. That's his only loss. So, again, nothing against John Jones. He's a very deserving, you know, and good champion, but I just think Rashad Evans, until Jones wipes him out, I'm going with Rashad Evans here.
I think Jones wipes him out. I do. But
hey, it's a win either way for UFC.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some of the other news. Of course, the Royal Rumble is today. Also going on this weekend in L.A. is Wrestle Reunion. And there was a Dragon Gate USA internet pay-per-view a couple days ago, and got a lot of great reviews. I haven't got a chance to see yet, but Dave said it was an excellent show, and he predicted that nothing on the Royal Rumble tonight was going to be as good as the Akira Tozawa match last night. And for those of you that have ever seen Akira Tozawa, he's awesome!
Yes, he is. He's one of those guys that, I mean, it's how you develop somebody. You know, just what, 3 years ago, I think it is, he was just, you know, basically heading up all but a joke stable in Dragon Gate over in Japan, the Tozawa Juku, and, you know, he's evolved over the last few years and gotten better, and they've built him up, and they didn't overexpose him or underexpose him or anything like that, and he's now really, really good, and I haven't seen the show yet, but it doesn't stun me whatsoever. I mean, I hope Punk, and I can say, you know, after tonight that Punk and Ziggler was better than anything on the Dragon Gate show, but you know what? It wouldn't stun me if, yeah, everything on there was better than tonight.
Also going on this weekend in the UK is a TNA taping. They ran Wembley and did nearly 8,000 fans. And during the course of the weekend, at some point, Hulk Hogan decided, I'm going to wrestle. I am going to wrestle on the show in Nottingham.
And Robin Hood, brother.
That's right. they decided to put Hulk Hogan in the ring, or he decided, obviously, and he did a six-man match, and he was in there for about 90 seconds. All he did was throw punches as men ran at him. He finally hit a big boot, which actually surprises me that he even did that, and then James Storm hit a leg drop on Robert Roode and pinned him. Hogan was in so much pain afterwards. 90 seconds. He took no bumps. All he did was stand still, throw punches, and throw a big boot, and he was virtually immobile. He had trouble getting in and out of the ring afterwards. And to me, well, it's sad, but I think what happened was years and years ago in WCW, they were going to eventually do a match with Hulk Hogan against Goldberg. And they ended up putting tickets on sale for the Georgia Dome. And I believe the attendance was 41,415 or something like that. A gigantic crowd. And pretty much every single solitary ticket was sold for a show that Hulk Hogan was not on. When Hogan found out that many people were going to be at the George Dome, he decided, hey, what if I put my title on the line against Goldberg on the show and he beats me? And that's exactly what happened. Basically, Hulk Hogan wanted credit for headlining a show that 41,415 people attended. I think it was 41,412. Anyway, he did that show and ended up dropping the title to Goldberg, which also they ended up dropping, like, I don't know, $12 million of potential pay-per-view revenue or something like that, because he did the match for free on television as opposed to putting it on pay-per-view. But the point is,
and by the way, announced it at 70, so he could say he was the reason that every single last seat was sold out.
Did they announce it at 70?
I think they did. I think it was way over the top.
That's impossible. I do know there was one show. I do know there was one show where they drew like 35,000, and they announced the attendance at like 25,000.
Well, Brian, I mean, the Georgia Dome was built for the Olympics. I mean, that thing actually could legitimately seat like 75.
That's true. But anyway, the point was, he wanted credit for this this amazing crowd. And so after all the tickets had already been sold, he put himself on the show. So I think what happened here was, I don't think they set the record, but 8,000 fans in Wembley is very close to the record. And they did a pretty good crowd by TNA standards in Nottingham as well. So I think he woke up, he felt good, and he decided, you know what? I'm going to take credit for all these tickets that got sold on this UK tour. I'm going to wrestle. And now I'm sure he's regretting it. But that's how Hulk Hogan operates. And it's a really sad story that in the physical condition he's in, he still needs to hear people pop for him when he makes a comeback. And I just wish he didn't have to be like that, because this is not going to have a happy ending.
No, I know what you're saying, and that's the most tragic thing, is remembering, you know, as much as somebody wants to make fun of this or would say something about Hulk Hogan, I mean, it's what a lot of guys have had to go through. I mean, it just, that's it gives you pause, and it should at least give you pause to think about that, you know, no matter what you think about Hogan, as far as what these guys have done to their bodies over the years. With that said, I mean, it may be something that he felt like he had to do to feel out the market and see whether, you know, something can he could get something going there, or to remind the UK that, you know, with the tour and the interviews and everything else, that, hey, if you got something going on, brother, just give my man a call and I might come back. And maybe it wasn't as much as hearing the roar of the crowd again, or hearing, you know, getting the pop or something like that, although I'm sure, of course, that played into it. It may just be a thing of feeling out what he has to do, you know, depending on his, you know, dollar situation. Obviously, his dollar situation's not great, because he is almost damn near crippled and shouldn't be doing this.
It's kind of sad, because, like, when I first heard about the match, and it was like, okay, he did a six-man, he didn't do anything until the end, people ran into his fist, he did a boot, someone else did the leg drop. I thought, you know, for years, Giant Baba buried himself in six-man comedy matches. You know what I mean? And he went out there, and he did his stuff, and people cheered, and it was great. It was a great role for him. He wasn't headlining or anything like that, but he had a place on the show, and he got to do his thing, and everybody cheered, and I thought, this is great for Hogan. You know, if he can do something like this, great. Go out there and do it.
Helpful.
Yeah, but the problem is, when you can't even throw some punches and one big boot without virtually being crippled the next day in pain, it's just not worth it anymore.
No, you're absolutely right. And again, but then again, is someone just going to be giving Hulk Hogan money? You know, what else is he going to do besides be Hulk Hogan? So unless it's taking even lesser and lesser things, this is what he has to do.
All right, everybody, we're going to head to a break. When we come back, final segment of the show, Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment on the show. Brian Alvarez here from WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here for the next 2 minutes, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 94, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, before we go, Wrestling Observer Awards are up on the Wrestling Observer website right now, and the Wrestler of the Year was Hiroshi Tanahashi. How excited were you to see that?
I was actually very excited to see that. It's nothing against CM Punk, and if you're mostly a WWE watcher, I would have no problem at all with you stating your case for why CM Punk deserved that award. With that said, if you look at things a little bit more globally, and if you are a Wrestling Observer newsletter subscriber, or at least a hardcore wrestling fan, you'd already know the name Hiroshi Tanahashi and the moves he's been making over the last couple of years, and things coming to fruition for New Japan over the last couple of years. Tanahashi, even though the business is not great over there compared to it was from before, he had great matches. He always has great matches. He's an incredible ball of charisma. And his matches this year, he had a monster year with matches with Naito, a very sensitive match with Goto. As far as the direction of the company, he came out of it like aces. He made Naito look like a superstar, which Jeff Hardy tried to kill him on at the beginning of last year. Yuji Nagata, an old pro, I mean, was fantastic. So he had great matches. He was great and consistent throughout the entire year. And he was a guy that from top to bottom, honest to God, dollar for dollar, when it comes to merchandise sales, he deserved the award over CM Punk, John Cena, or anybody else.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up in just moments. The Royal Rumble starts. Check it out on pay-per-view. Whether you do or not, WrestlingObserver.com, Dave Meltzer live running play-by-play on the front page of the website. And as noted, later on tonight, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, Dave Meltzer and I are going to be doing a post-show wrap-up. All of the news from the Royal Rumble. We'll talk all of the surprises. We'll talk the finish of the main event. We'll talk about how it plays into WrestleMania and so much more. Only at WrestlingObserver.com. Thanks, Mike, as always. Thanks all the folks at Sports Byline USA. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.